listening to the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast. I'm Sarah.
I'm Erin.
And I'm your quiz mistress, Rachel.
Hey! Yeah. That means we have trivia today.
We do.
And apologies in advance for how poorly we may end up doing on this one.
Oh, we've been prepared. We've been told that, well, we know the topic. And it's vast.
It is vast.
It's vast. It is vast.
So,
it is vast. But you requested this topic.
I know.
So here we go. We had a lot of fun last fall with our New Testament trivia challenge inspired by Sarah's entrance exam to the Deaconess program at Concordia Seminary, St. Louis. And of course, you know, it's funny how one thing builds off another, that Sarah's performance in that trivia challenge inspired her to begin a Bible reading plan, and she is making good progress. And I am so, so happy about that, because what better fruit could there be from something as silly as trivia, but to inspire people to dig into the word more fully and deeply?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I also had an Old Testament exam, too.
Uh-huh.
I had to take that one a couple times.
Mm-hmm. We'll see how you do on today's Old Testament exam. I'm trying not to be vindictive after Erin put me through my paces with hymnathlon a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
Erin, I am a gracious and forgiving person. I've tried not to make this any harder than I would have had you not made me remember every single word to A Mighty Fortress on penalty of failure. So we can get going here in just a minute. I just, once again, just as I did with New Testament, I have to clarify here. Mm-hmm. There are two senses of the word trivia. And one of them, that is to say, Merriam-Webster's definition 1A, unimportant matters, never applies to the Bible.
Mm-mm.
However, Merriam-Webster's definition 2, a quizzing game involving obscure facts, works perfectly.
Yes.
Because in the Old Testament, especially, there are some very obscure facts. And so we're gonna get into them today. And hopefully you will be inspired not only to see God's word for the treasure that it is, but also to get into it more yourself.
Yeah. I really love the Old Testament. Doing my Old Testament exam, I realized how many really cool stories there are and how much character development you get that you don't really get in the New Testament. Like, you got a lot of Paul's letters in the New Testament, but there's multiple characters in the Old Testament that span a lot of chapters. So you really get to know these people. It's kind of fun.
True. True.
You do. Although it is, this one is, there's a reason we did New Testament first. And that is because the Old Testament presents some unique challenges. Why? Well, first, the Old Testament is long. Second, the Old Testament is often obscure and anything but straightforward. If you ever read straight through the book of Isaiah, and our lectionaries usually sort of cherry pick.
Yeah.
For example, just to give one example, you will have one passage of perfectly crystal clear Christological prophecy, followed by some seemingly random rant about, say, the kingdom of Tyre or Moab or something that I'm sure was very relevant back in the day. But if you're unfamiliar with a whole lot of background and context, it can feel like you're reading something that is not for you. Of course, we know that that may not be true.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third reason some people, especially some Protestants, actually, some people throughout Christendom have struggled to get into the Old Testament. In fact, early church fathers had debates about this. Is because on the surface, it seems like there's not a lot of Jesus there.
Yeah.
And we are Christians.
Uh-huh,
where is Christ?
Everywhere.
Everywhere. And so
everywhere.
That brings us. So there are three reasons. It's long, it's obscure, and there seems to be less Jesus. Why people struggle to get into the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
Why should we study the Old Testament? One, it's the word of God.
Right.
Two, to Jesus and the apostles, it was scripture.
Yeah.
When you're looking at St. Peter's comments about all scripture being breathed out by God, well, most of the New Testament had not been written yet when he was writing those words.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's referring to the Old Testament scriptures. Mm-hmm. Jesus, Paul, all of the apostles quote the Old Testament. so many times. They don't always chapter and verse us, so it may go by without you noticing that it's there, because that was the academic convention of the day. They just to assume that everyone everyone would recognize it
says
without the footnotes.
Right.
So yes. And then the third reason is because every page of scripture is about Jesus.
Right.
If you have eyes to see it. And but the more you get into it, the more you sit with it, the more you develop the kind of vision that allows you to see it.
Yeah.
So it's definitely worth spending time with, even if it doesn't seem like the easiest project in the world.
Yeah.
So with that prolegomena out of the way, let's jump into some trivia questions for you guys.
Oh, boy.
Here we go.
I'm ready.
We'll start with some basics, just a couple to get us.
They better be basic.
I know, right?
Otherwise,
actual basic.
Shaming us. Okay, come on. I can do this.
All right. How many books are in the Old Testament?
66. Isn't that right?
No.
That was my first
instinct. All of the books, isn't it?
Ah.
That's the whole Bible. Yes. It's
less the New Testament books.
Uh-huh. Can we do subtraction?
Formula. You can do the algebra.
It's just subtraction. You don't need algebra for this.
Wait, how many are in the New Testament?
I know you asked us this.
Maybe there's...
Sarah's counting Matthew.
Oh, 24 and 22.
No.
That's why I said you're not supposed to start with telling it's basic.
50.
All right, there are 66 books total.
Yeah. Okay.
27 in the New Testament.
Oh,
39 in the Old Testament.
Four is pretty close.
Yes.
Five off.
Although
we're off to a great start.
Although Bing AI reminds me that there are 46 in the Catholic Bible and up to 49 in Orthodox traditions. So
all
right. We're talking about our Bible.
39
plus
books.
Five, plus or minus five.
Yes. There's a little margin of error there. No, we'll do, you know what? We should do the Apocrypha in a future trivia challenge. That'll be fun.
I know, goodness. Like nothing about that.
Perfect.
We have to do it for a book club first.
So yes, there are 39 books in the Old Testament.
Okay.
Into what five categories are they usually divided?
Pentateuch, wisdom, prophets,
history,
and poetry. Did I say that?
Yeah,
right?
Poetry. I think poetry. Yes. Poetry.
So it's usually divided into the Pentateuch or the Law or the Torah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. The books of history, the books of poetry, the major prophets, and the minor prophets.
We got them.
Okay.
Yes, you did. Well done.
Yeah.
Teamwork.
Nice. All right. Can you name them all?
Wait, all of the books of the Bible?
All of the books of the Old Testament. Did you go to Lutheran school, Sarah?
Didn't we already do this?
You did the New Testament.
Oh,
it's only fair.
Okay, I never learned the song, and that I really
I don't know
that's
the
probably
song.
Something.
Oh,
I
my kids learned to rap. It was cool.
I don't know any of that.
Various songs. Some of them have motions, and I really should.
I do
that on
say
my
them
challenge
to myself
year,
frequently in order to find the ones in the middle because I always
I
get
think
them.
With teamwork we can make the dream work.
I bet you can. And just to make sure, I'm going to open up my Bible app so that I'm not
off as we go.
Assuming that you're right. Okay, go ahead.
Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth. First and Second
Samuel. First Second Samuel. First Second Chronicles. First Second Kings.
Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Songs, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Malachi. Oh no! Ah.
I hit a wall.
Zephaniah.
Zechariah. Micah.
Obadiah.
Oh, I missed Micah.
Amos.
Owen.
Joel. Nahum.
You already got those.
I already said those. Wait, where did I stop?
You stopped at
Malachi's last.
Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah.
How many are left? I lost track.
Three.
Well, Malachi, we know
Malachi is
in there.
Last.
Wow, you got almost all of them. That was amazing, Sarah.
You were on a roll.
Okay.
I told you.
So let's
I know those middle ones.
Which ones do we think we're missing?
What did I miss? Haggai?
Haggai.
Good one.
Actually, that's you've said all the rest. You missed poor Haggai.
Okay. Oh. Okay. Hey.
Where is Haggai?
So you did mix up the Kings and the Chronicles. It goes Samuel, then Kings, then Chronicles.
I thought Kings was first.
Sarah, that was an impressive roll through the major prophets and most of the minor prophets.
Blazing.
Song of Songs is sometimes listed as Song of Solomon, but either is acceptable.
I said Song of Songs, but that's okay. Great.
Yeah, no, that was amazing. Good job. Mm-hmm. Lutheran schools for the win.
The only way amazing. I can find anything in the Old Testament, I just rattle those off every time. Yes.
Yeah. I gotta learn it. That'll be one of my challenges this year is to learn a Bible book rap.
I'll see if I can find the one that my kids learned in their Lutheran school and put it in the show notes if you want. I still remember them rattling off Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. That's the 5 books of Moses. Anyway, it goes on from there. Okay, so let's, now that we've got the basics out of the way, let's do as we did with the New Testament and launch into some questions about who's who.
Okay. Oh boy. All right.
According to Genesis, who was the oldest man who ever lived?
Methuselah.
According to math, when did he die?
I have no idea.
According to math.
Like, how old was he?
No, at what event?
Oh.
He was 969 years old.
No.
Yes.
Yes. He very likely died in the same year as the flood. So whether he died in the flood or was the last person to die before the flood.
Yeah, I saw a graph of like overlapping people before the flood, like lifespans of people. Uh-huh. It is mind blowing who was alive at the same time.
Yeah,
because like you don't really hear about them at the same time.
What? But that means Methuselah. I thought Noah was the only one.
God was
like, there's only Noah. You're the only one.
Well,
and Methuselah is called out as one of the people who knew and loved God.
Is he
walked away?
That is an interesting question about the state of Methuselah's soul and why he was not on the ark, or whether he died of natural causes.
Yeah, right before Noah started construction. We'll go with that. Okay. Yeah.
Well, I mean, Noah took 100 years, but...
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
he was on hospice maybe for that time.
Okay, carry on.
Number two.
Oh, that was
and this one is, again, you got some opportunities for partial credit here.
Okay.
Can you name all 12 sons of Jacob? Not Joseph.
Joseph.
We'll get to him in a minute.
Yes.
Joseph is one. All right. That's one down.
Okay.
Judah.
Mm-hmm.
Reuben.
Simeon.
Mm-hmm.
Dan. Asher. Naphtali. Benjamin.
Manasseh? No, that's one of Joseph's sons.
Yeah.
You sent him out of order, so now I'm confused.
Levi.
All right.
Levi? Excellent.
Levi.
How many are you missing? One, two?
You're missing two.
Missing two.
We did these as family group names for VBS. I don't know how many times when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember any more of them.
Okay. I believe you're missing Issachar and Zebulun.
Oh! Those are the two.
Yeah.
We did not say
there
them.
There we go. So Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin, a.k.a. Ben-Oni, which was what his mom wanted to call him, but his dad overruled her. When you're dying in childbirth, it's hard to think of inspiring, uplifting names for your baby.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, so this one, next one will be a lot easier. What about, can you name the two sons of Joseph? Who were numbered among the tribes of Israel?
Manasseh. And Ephraim.
Ephraim, yes. Okay. That one was easy, and that should make you feel good.
Oh, no.
Because the next one's a little trickier. Who is the first man in the Bible to be described as filled with the Spirit?
Joseph.
I mean, obviously Adam, because the breath of God breathes into his nostrils.
Noah? Filled with the Spirit, Samson.
No.
Ezekiel?
Somewhere in the book of Exodus.
Oh. Was it the two guys who stayed behind and they were prophesying in the camp? They didn't come.
Oh, interesting.
And No, that wasn't who you had in mind, though.
No, that wasn't. But that's a. I would accept that as an alternate answer because it's very close on to this. There's a specific phrase. Moses? Two men. You're right with the two men. Just different two men.
Huh.
Aaron, oh. This is going to make your heart happy. So as God is giving, I'll just tell you, God is giving the blueprints to Moses for the tabernacle, he also sets apart two helpers. He says, this is, what chapter is this?
The handy maker.
It's the makers, the crafters.
Yes! He says, makers.
See, the Lord said to Moses, see, yes. I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the spirit of God,
yes.
with ability and intelligence, with knowledge and all craftsmanship, to devise artistic designs, to work in gold, silver, and bronze, in cutting stones for setting, and in carving wood, to work in every craft. And behold, I have appointed with him Oholiab, the son of Ahisamak, of the tribe of Dan.
Oholiab!
And I have given to all able men ability, that they may make all that I have commanded you. Yes. I always think of you, Aaron, when I read this passage.
Yes. I do too!
There's a special place for the crafters in there God's is. Vision.
Yep.
There is.
Making the beautiful things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Moving forward in time.
Okay.
Which of the judges of Israel, Book of Judges, was famously left-handed?
Aaron, you love judges.
I know. I know one of them was. I don't remember which one.
I got nothing.
At the moment, I got nothing.
Do you remember why it mattered that he was left-handed?
Has to do with his sword.
All right. Partial credit. We'll give you that.
Uh-huh.
This was the judge Ehud.
Oh!
Whom the Lord strengthened against...
In my head, and then I was like, but Ehud? No, it couldn't be Ehud. I should have just taken a wild guess.
The Lord strengthened him against Eglon, the king of Moab, and because he was left-handed and was able to strap his sword on the unexpected side, he made it past the bouncers in order to... Let's just say wreak divine justice on Eglon, the oppressor.
That story.
Yes. Okay, number six, moving on. Which priest of God thought Hannah was drunk when he saw her praying?
Oh. Is it Eli?
Is it Eli? Yeah.
Bravo, bravo. So yes, Hannah is praying fervently for a child, as many people do, and... praying in such a way that her lips are moving, but her words are not coming out. And Eli says, go home, you're drunk.
Yeah.
And she goes, no, here's the real situation. And he says those beautiful words, your prayer has been heard.
Oh. Yeah.
And so the story unfolds from there. Not very happily for Eli in the end, but for God's people, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, number seven. Who was King David's right-hand general, for better and for worse?
Jonathan? No.
No. Or Uriah?
No.
No.
He hated Uriah.
No, but he was involved in the Uriah incident.
Yeah. I don't remember, so I'm going to do, again, a random thing that comes into my head. Nadab.
Nadab. No. Nadab and Abihu were priests.
Yes.
Oh, I think those might be the ones that did the prophesying.
The thing, yeah.
No, those were the sons of Aaron who offered unholy hot fire before the Lord and were smitten,
burned up. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're not good.
Is it start with a J?
It does.
Yes. It's not Jonathan. Jochiam.
Nope. Ooh. But the first syllable's right. It was Joab.
Joab
and his brother Abishai. Who were actually, I believe, kinsmen of King David. I don't know what the relationship was exactly, but he led David's war band. Mm. And because he was politically useful to David, David politically used him throughout his career. And he got his hands a bit dirty. So on David's deathbed, he asked Solomon to maybe wreak justice on Joab for a sin he had committed years before that had not yet been dealt with. It's kind of a bit of a messy story, actually. All right, moving on.
There's a lot of messy stories. Yeah. In the Old Testament.
There are. It makes our contemporary dramas seem sometimes a little tame, actually.
Like when we're like, oh, life is so dramatic. It's like, have you read the Old Testament?
Right. And there's nothing new under the sun. That also is in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
All right. So number 8, there are 12 questions in each of these rounds, by the way, in honor of the 12 tribes of Israel.
Yes.
Of course.
Number 8, which king of Judah saw the shadow go back 10 steps as a sign that God would extend his life?
Hezekiah.
Yes, indeed.
Hey!
Yeah. Although considering that he made the biggest foibles of his entire reign in those last 15 years that God granted him in mercy, I wonder if maybe the merciful thing would have been to not.
Not.
That's okay. All right, number 9. Which Syrian general famously went to Israel to be cured of leprosy?
Nahum.
Not quite. Close.
Wait. It is an N.
It is an N. Nadab?
No.
No, we already talked about Nadab and Abihu.
I did.
No. The story gets a lot of play in children's Bible storybooks because of the young slave girl who was responsible for sharing the good news.
No, Naaman.
Naaman. Yes, very good. Very good.
Yeah. You were really close.
That
is a fun story.
Number 10. Who wrote the book of Lamentations?
Jeremiah.
Yep. Jeremiah's B track, short and bitter. As opposed to his A track, which is long and bitter.
Oh, poor Jeremiah.
He's a little sweet sinner.
Yeah.
All right. Number 11. Which famous exile from Judah served as cupbearer to King Artaxerxes of Persia?
Cupbearer.
Yes. He was one of those who returned. This is at the end of the exile.
Yeah. Ezra? No, Nehemiah.
Nehemiah. Very good. Very good.
Yeah.
Yep. It's amazing how those exiles, you know, simply by being godly, pious, virtuous people, were recognized for quality and rose to some rather high ranks in the empires that had taken them captive, which put them in good position when God was ready to send them home to be able to do that.
Amazing. Yeah. So,
wherever God places you in life, do your work to the best of your ability, and it will pay dividends.
Mm-hmm.
All right, number 12, last one in this particular Who's Who round.
Oh, boy.
Whose filthy garments did God replace in Zechariah's vision?
Israel.
Yeah, I was going to say Israel.
Well, it was an actual person who was standing in as a representative for Israel. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's it. Israel in the Old Testament, Israel is like the children's church answer.
Moses?
Oh, we're talking about Zechariah. Way at the end of the Old Testament. Moses has been with the angels for a while.
That's true.
I got nothing.
No, okay. I don't know.
Finally stumped you.
Yeah.
This is Joshua the high priest, who was serving at the time after the exile. And it was a time of real discouragement for the people of Israel. So this vision of their high priest having his filthy garments replaced with white robes was an encouraging message.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Take a deep breath. You made it through round one. Who's Who, part one.
Hey. How many rounds are there?
Three or four, maybe five. I don't know.
Not 12.
12 rounds of
12. No. No, I'd like to eat today and maybe sleep.
No.
3-hour episode.
Maybe you'll have more fun with this next round because you'll notice that every single answer in that first round, the answer was male.
Yeah, this
is
going
to do a ladies only edition of our Who's Who for round two.
We did this for New Testament, too.
Okay.
We did. I mean, this is the ladies' lounge. We got to be accurate to our brand here. So without further ado, let's enjoy these.
Okay.
Number 1, whom did Abraham marry after Sarah's death? I could have given you who did Abraham marry.
Wow.
And you could have given me Sarah or Hagar, but this is, that'd be too easy.
I just picked that up.
She is a real person, though.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I know it, and I can't think of it.
Poor lady.
I can't remember.
Her name was Keturah.
Yes, because I love that name.
A pretty name.
It is. It's beautiful. And and we know that we can, because of Keturah, we can ascertain that indeed it was Sarah who was the barren one in their marriage, because even late in life, Keturah bore Abraham several sons who he gave gifts to, but did not divide the inheritance with. That was Isaac. He was the child of promise.
Yeah, I do love that name.
All right, number two. We talked about Jacob's 12 sons. Can you name his four wives?
Okay.
One of them is better. Yeah. Thank you.
And. Wives. Not the, like, concubine, not the, servants of the wives. That
I said four wives. Okay, two wives and two concubines. But you've read your Apostle Paul. You know that a concubine is a wife in the theological sense.
So, Bilha. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's something with an M.
All right, so you got Rachel.
Yeah, Rachel and Leah.
And Leah.
Rachel is Bilha's, right?
Bilha. Who's our fourth?
I'm not going to remember.
It's Zilpah.
Right.
There have been millions, probably, at least thousands, probably millions of young ladies named Leah and Rachel since the Old Testament. I've never met a Bilha or a Zilpah. So, you know, ladies, hold out for actual marriage. You'll be remembered in a very different way. I feel very bad for Zilpah and Bilha.
To be fair, though, I'm not sure there was really much holding out option for them.
No, there was not. There was not. That was an unfortunate situation.
But pray for a good husband, ladies. That's a good pray for.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
Yes.
Okay. We talked about Jacob's four wives. We talked about his 12 sons. Can you name his only daughter?
I knew you were going to ask that.
I mean, I'm a completionist, so.
Is it Tamar or Dinah?
Dinah. Yeah. Well done. Well done. Tamar was his daughter-in-law granddaughter-in-law. Anyway, messy situation. Well, granddaughter-in-law.
Messy stories.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Speaking of. Uh-huh. Okay. Let's move on to one of the unsung love stories in the Bible. Unsung because it wasn't actually in the Bible. I'll explain in a minute.
Okay.
Who did Joseph marry?
It was an Egyptian woman?
That feels likely and yet not likely.
Right?
I'm very torn.
I thought, because I always wondered who he married, and I was kind of surprised.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't remember.
Isn't it one of Pharaoh's daughters? Am I totally wrong?
No, you're not totally wrong.
Okay.
Her name was Asenath.
Yeah,
and she was the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On.
Right.
She was the daughter. She was the daughter of a high-ranking priest in
the court of Pharaoh.
Yes, high-ranking. Yeah. And I call this a love story, even though scripture mentions her only in one verse.
Yeah.
Because people had long assumed there must be more to the story, because guess what? Her sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, are numbered as full members of the tribes of Israel.
Yeah.
And you're right. It
so
speak to it.
Years later, sometime, you know, between 200 BC and 280, there's this wonderful, I'm going to call it fan fiction, piece of fan fiction that looks into the story of Joseph and Asenath. And I'll put a link in the show notes. This is not scripture. But it is really, really interesting reading. In which Asenath is this daughter of the priest, and how she is sort of brought into faith in the true God before she marries Joseph.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's a beautiful and very romantic story.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, I remember realizing who he married, and I was like,
He married not only an Egyptian, but an Egyptian idol worshiper.
Yes.
Like, that was her family legacy.
Yeah.
And
I was so surprised. And also,
yet,
like, I need to know.
Their family is fully included, numbered among the Hebrews. It's really,
cool.
Really cool. All right.
Yeah.
Speaking of the Hebrews in Egypt, who were those Hebrew midwives?
What are their names, Sarah?
I don't know their names, but I love their story.
Okay, tell me what you can of their story and we'll count it for partial credit.
Well, it's Pharaoh, right? Wanted to kill all the baby boys. Mm-hmm. And so the Hebrew midwives were like, no, the Hebrew boys, the Hebrew women are they're so strong and they birth their babies so quickly that we just can't get to them before they've given birth.
They call us and we get there and
there's already a baby.
Can't do anything. It's
it is. And
I don't know their
by,
names.
By that act of civil disobedience, they saved many lives.
Yes.
Their names are Shipra and Pua. Mm-hmm. And they are some of the only, you know, women in that time and place whose names are given. And it tells them that the Lord gave them families.
Yeah.
Because of what they did.
Which is huge.
It is.
That's a real blessing, yeah.
A great, anyone, we all know what a gift families are.
Yeah.
So to two women who were high on virtue and low on family, that this reward is it's just a beautiful story.
Some of my female biblical heroes. So
it's
cool.
It's also hilarious.
I know, I love it.
All right, number six. Who hid the Israelite spies at Jericho?
Rahab.
Rahab, not Rachel, not this time. Cool. Move on, because time is short. Oh, here we go. From the book of Ruth. I was like, I have to include Ruth somehow. Mm-hmm. But what can I include that you guys might not know?
I was going to say, I'm thinking through all the female names.
Which name did Naomi try to adopt when she returned home to Israel, widowed and bereft of her sons? She's like, don't call me Naomi anymore. Call me this.
Mara,
yes, which means bitterness.
Bitter.
Naomi means blessed or happy.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that Mary is a name that is all over the New Testament because God's people in that time found life rather bitter. And one way that they reflected that was by naming a lot of little girls Mary.
I don't think I realized that Mary is a variant of Mara.
Mm-hmm.
Like those are connected. Interesting. Oh.
Hmm. Yep. And believe now, so. I'm not looking stuff up right at this moment.
And,
so.
And now it's like she's like, I'm the most blessed of all women.
Yeah. That's God's beautiful irony.
I love it. Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
Yep. Okay. Moving forward. Number eight. So Job had a total of six daughters, three of whom are never named. We just know their fate, which was not very pleasant. However, as part of Job's restoration to God's favor at the end, well, I mean, he's always in God's favor, but part of his restoration at the end of the book, he gives birth. No, he does not give birth. His wife gives birth. Job becomes the father of 10 more bouncing baby children, 7 sons and 3 daughters, and the daughters are noted for their beauty, and they are also given names, although the boys are not.
No.
Do you remember the names of Job's daughters?
No,
don't.
All right. Those names would be Karen Hapuk, Jemima, and Keziah, or Keziah. Oh.
Jemima!
Okay. Yeah. I love it. Two of those have gotten used frequently throughout the course of history. Uh-huh. One of them less so, unless you count Karen as a derivative, but I don't think it is.
No.
Probably not.
So yes, 3 beautiful daughters to Job.
Yes.
Okay. Moving forward, I'm a little out of order here. I must have been writing these in a hurry. Number 9, what was Queen Esther's Hebrew name?
Oh, shoot. I'm going to kick myself when you say it.
I met a young lady with this first name a couple weeks ago, which is why it was fresh on my mind. Sweet, sweet child.
I don't remember. I don't either.
It was Hadassah.
Oh, right.
That's pretty. So
it is. It's beautiful. Beautiful. Huh? Hadassah. This young lady that I met was also called Hattie, which was equally sweet. So Queen Esther was good Queen Esther. We're going to turn a page here and talk about
somebody.
Yeah. Number 10. Who was the only reigning queen to sit over the kingdom of Judah?
Jezebel.
Was that Jezebel?
Nope. This Jezebel was elsewhere.
Okay. For Judah. I feel like I should know this.
This is real Game of Thrones stuff here, by the way.
I don't remember.
This would be Athalia.
Oh, huh. Nope.
From
who's she the mother of?
She was the mother of Ahaziah. So when her son died, she arose and destroyed all the royal family.
Oh, good.
But this is from 2 Kings chapter 11. But Jehosheba, the daughter of King Joram, sister of Ahaziah, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him away from the king's sons who were being put to death. And she put him and his nurse in a bedroom. Thus they hid him from Athaliah, so he was not put to death. And he remained with her 6 years, hidden in the house of the Lord, while Athaliah reigned in the land.
Wow.
Woof.
And she does not meet a very good end once Joash grows up just enough to claim his rightful throne.
Yeah.
Man.
But yeah, that's it's messy. People. All right. Speaking of messy, which idolatrous queen of Israel bore a name that literally means, where is Baal?
Jezebel. That's
Jezebel.
There we are.
Yep. Yeah, she was a princess of Tyre who married into the northern kingdom, married King Ahab, and proceeded to be about like you would expect someone named Jezebel to be.
Yep. She set the model
for that. All right. We need to turn the corner and find ourselves another hero to end this section with number 12. So, which faithful prophetess shared the word of God with King Josiah?
Oh, does it start with an H?
H, yes, it does.
Yes.
Hephzibah.
No.
Oh, I'm gonna be real mad when I hear it, but I don't think I'm gonna pull it out.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Well, this was the Lady Huldah.
Yes.
She was the wife of Shallum and Hilkiah, and the king Josiah went to see her after they discovered the book of the law and wanted to get back on the right path. And so she gave them God's word at that time. Uh-huh. And it's worth pointing out that her prophecy did not take place in a public setting. That this was a private consult. Mm-hmm. And so that if you're going to use this as a text to support female ordination, it's a little tricky to use that. But if you're going to use it as a text to support women sharing the word of God with anyone who comes within range of them, absolutely. Because that was Huldah. And she did it very well. Shared the word of God. Congratulations! You have made it through round two. Woohoo!
Yay! Okay.
All right, when we did our New Testament, we had a round here about Numbers.
Yeah.
Although we technically have a book called Numbers. I didn't want to do all Numbers. Okay. So we're calling this one Etc.
No. Okay.
Some numbers, some other things. You got this.
Okay. It's a miscellaneous category.
Yep. It's a miscellaneous category. Yep. Okay, question one. What is the longest book in the Bible?
Jeremiah.
Or Psalms.
Or
Proverbs?
No, oh, not Proverbs.
Okay, Isaiah? I will give it to you for Psalms, although Jeremiah is a very intriguing answer. Links in the show note. This was actually a very tricky question to discern an answer to, because it depends on whether you're counting by the number of books.
Well, that's what I was
going to number of chapters, the number of words in English, or the number of words in the original languages. And if you go by the original Hebrew and Greek, Jeremiah is the longest. It is not anywhere near the top if you go by any of those other measures.
Exactly.
But Psalms, I will grant you, because it has the most... Hey, the most chapters and the most
double points for that.
Double
points.
Mm-hmm. Double points. Well done. Making up some ground here.
I mean, yes.
Okay. This one's a little easier. What is the longest chapter in the Bible?
Psalm 118.
19. Yes.
119. Yes. Psalm 119. It is the longest chapter in the Bible, containing 176 verses. And depending on which English translation you go with, the chapter contains about 2,500 words.
Yeah. That's long.
Extensive.
Yeah.
It's cool, though.
Yeah. I love that. Love that chapter. That psalm. That's all. All right, number three. With which 10 plagues did God afflict the Egyptians?
Wait, you want us to name them all?
All of them.
Mm-hmm. Of course, all of them. Ugh. Okay, what did it start with? Locusts?
Flies. Gnats. Boils. Death of the livestock. You said
River
locusts,
of blood.
Darkness.
Darkness.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how many that is.
Oh, we weren't counting? I thought you were counting.
I sort of was counting.
All right, start over. I'm ready now.
Flies, gnats, locusts, frogs. Darkness, livestock, boils.
River of blood, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. River of blood.
Death of the firstborn. That's the last one.
Mm-hmm. Finisher. But what's the one we're missing?
Always the one you're missing.
It's weather related, if that helps.
Hail.
Yep.
Well done. Today.
That is a lot of natural disasters to happen all at once.
Yeah.
Oof. Okay. Number four. How many spies were sent to spy out the land of Canaan?
12.
And how many of those were good?
Two.
Yeah. And do you now have the song in your head?
We just sang that in Bible study the other night.
12 men went to spy on Canaan. 10 were bad and 2 were good.
And Dr. Bierman sang that song.
I love it so much. Can totally see that happening too. Okay. This one I can almost guarantee you won't get, but you might get close.
All right.
But it's worth pondering for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you calculate inflation over several thousand years.
Money?
Number five, what bribe did the Philistines offer Delilah to find out Samson's secret?
A lot of money.
Yes.
You want an actual number, though, don't you?
No, it's okay. Actually, you're not going to get it.
Okay, what is it?
So I'll call it good enough. 1,100 pieces of silver.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yes. Think about what Judas got to betray Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
A couple of thousand years later.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
30 pieces of silver.
Oof.
Over 1,000 pieces of silver.
That's a lot.
It is a lot. And it helps explain how she was able to actually commit that act of treachery. I'm not saying Delilah was not guilty. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying you might understand her a little better, understanding what taking a moment to pause. Stakes. And figured out the temptation that was before her.
Yeah.
Huge amount of money.
Yeah.
She probably figured with that amount of money, she could bail him out of whatever prison they put him in.
Mm.
I don't know. All right. This one's more fun. Number six. Okay. What secret code did David and Jonathan set up to communicate when Saul was angry?
It has something to do with arrows.
Yeah.
Yes.
Shoot an arrow. And if you're like, oh, it's past that rock.
Yeah.
That means he's very angry, and they're like, oh, it's this side of the rock. That means it's okay. You can come on back.
Yeah. It's so great. It's all right. So chapter 20, 1 Samuel chapter 20, go and read it and see if you can imagine a couple of young guys playing like super spy.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're doing. Yeah. They set up this elaborate system by which to communicate whether or not it's safe for David to return. And as soon as they have set the signal. Jonathan sends the guy, the boy who was collecting the arrows back to the house. And David comes out of hiding. They just talk together. Like, what was the point of that? You weren't. But I just love the friendship of David and Jonathan.
Yeah.
It reminds me so much of men in my life and brings me great delight to realize that this is a timeless sort of phenomenon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Number seven. Sarah, you mentioned wisdom literature earlier. So let's ask, which three books are attributed to King Solomon?
Song of Solomon.
Uh-huh. Good guess. Yes.
Proverbs.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Ecclesiastes.
Ecclesiastes.
I like to think of these, and I don't know for sure that I have read it or heard it described this way. I don't know if it's 100% legitimate, but I see in Song of Solomon the exuberance of a young man, in Proverbs, the hard-won wisdom of a dad, And then Ecclesiastes, the meditations of an old man. So we get snapshots of Solomon's mind at different parts of his life.
Yeah.
All right. Number 8. What did Elisha do with his oxen and their yoke after Elijah recruited him as prophet in training?
Burned them and boiled them for stew.
He did. Absolutely. He was like, there's no going back. This is,
yeah,
that's a great.
Use the yoke for the fire to cook the stew.
Yeah. Mm. Although, how much fire would that many yokes have made? And would it really have cooked that many oxen? I do the math.
It's a metaphor.
It's a metaphor. He probably added some wood to the fire.
He probably added some wood. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ox is not a small animal.
You got it. Well done. Yeah. Okay. Number 9. We all have heard about the writing on the wall. Oh, yeah. What 4 words in the book of Daniel were written on the wall before Belshazzar, which Daniel was called upon to interpret?
I can see the arch book.
Huh.
Oh, I don't remember.
It's one of those things that you either know it and you know it forever, or you just are like, what even is that?
Yeah, except you're probably going to say it and then we're going to be like, oh, of course.
Yeah, that's the other option. I didn't want to mention that one. Okay.
Yeah, don't know.
The 4 words were Mene, Mene, Tekel, Parsin. This is the interpretation of the matter, says Daniel. Mene, God has numbered the days of your kingdom and brought it to an end. Tekel, you have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. Peres, or Parsin, your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes. Sorry, given to the Medes and the Persians. Yes, this is one of the relatively rare instances where we are not given the translated versions of the words, but we are given the transliterated words directly off the wall, which adds to the authenticity, honestly, of this account in the scriptures.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was hard. Oh, yeah. You'll probably get this one, though. Number 10. What heartbreaking task was given by God to the prophet Hosea?
Marrying the prostitute.
Yeah.
Okay.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Gomer.
Uh-huh. Yes. Yes. He was assigned to marry a woman that he knew was very likely to be faithless to him.
Mm-hmm.
In their married life, and turned out exactly as expected. And that was all part of God's plan for delivering his message about the faithlessness of Israel and his own faithfulness.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Getting close. Number 11. What army was devastating the land at the time of the prophet Joel? It's not what you think.
Oh, hang on. The Chaldeans.
Nope.
Oh.
Syrians?
Nope.
Egyptians?
Nope.
Mm.
You're doing great. You're completely wrong, but you're doing great.
Northern Israel. Northern Kingdom.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Babylonian?
Mm-mm.
Mm.
The Tyres.
No, it wasn't the Phoenicians. Okay.
I'm running out of people groups. Amalekites.
The Amalekites. Great guess. They were very much enemies of God's people. No. Hittites,
Perizzites.
No.
The locusts.
It's an army of locusts. Yes.
What's your people? That was a question.
That was more fun for me than it should have been. But that's exactly how the prophet describes them, as a marauding army devouring the entire land. He describes them just like they would describe the Assyrians or the Babylonians.
Yesterday, I totally should have known that.
Devouring locusts and followed by the cutting locusts.
My goodness. I just made a reel out of that. Yes.
I'm so proud of you for getting that in the end. It was not what anyone was expecting.
We went through a long list of enemies.
Very impressed at your knowledge of the ancient Near East. So that's impressive.
You know how much time I spent on that geography in 8th grade? It was like a whole semester.
Wow. I offered tires and locusts.
You're there when we need you. Okay. Number 12 in our et cetera category. Mm-hmm. Whose arrival does the very last prophecy in the book of Malachi foretell? Last book of the Old Testament, last verses of the book.
Jesus.
Who is he talking about?
John the Baptist.
John the Baptist.
Yeah.
Correct. Well done.
He's first.
Last words of the Old Testament. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. Yes. The last words of the Old Testament are basically a to be continued, dun dun dun, pointing straight to John the Baptist, who points straight to Jesus.
Yeah.
It's really beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay. This next section you're going to get 100% on, I predict. But it's important as we're trying to reinforce the our understanding of the Christological nature of the Old Testament.
Ooh.
So this is a short round, only four questions, and it's called
it's Jesus.
Whose verse is this? Who's no, sorry? And it's called
every verse Jesus.
Who is this verse about anyway?
Yes. Okay.
Good luck. I have faith that you can do very well on this. And this is only, like I said, we could be here all day with this, but I was like, this will get boring pretty quickly. All right. Number one, Genesis 49:10. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet until tribute comes to him, and to him shall be the obedience of the peoples.
Yeah, that's about Jesus.
That's Jesus.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Yep.
Okay.
Psalm 2, verse 12.
Ooh.
Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. Who's this verse about anyway?
Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah, that one's definitely Jesus too.
Yeah. Great job. You guys are knocking this one out of the park. Number three, Isaiah 53, verse 3.
Jesus,
he was
obviously
despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Who's this verse about anyway?
That's Jesus.
Yeah. All right. Last one, just because we'll have all of eternity to sing this song, but we don't have to finish it right now. But Zechariah chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for behold, I come and I will dwell in your midst, declares the Lord. And many nations shall join themselves to the Lord in that day and shall be my people. And I shall dwell in your midst, and you shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. Who's this verse about anyway?
Jesus!
Yes.
Yeah. Amen.
Love it.
And
that's why the Old Testament is so cool, because everything points to Jesus.
Yes, and not just, I mean, like, it's almost child's play to give your word to the prophets and have them prophesy about Jesus, but we see pre-echoes of him written in the lives of people in the Old Testament. How many people are types of Christ?
Yep.
King David.
Yeah.
Joseph, you know, Asenath's husband. So many people, their very lives point to the coming Messiah.
Yep.
And it is so marvelous to see how God has woven this entire story out of the fabric, not just of his revealed word, but the very lives of the people whose stories are captured in it.
Yeah.
It's just mind-bogglingly beautiful.
I love it.
So I hope I've persuaded you to dig into your Old Testament. And just even when it's kind of hard, kind of obscure, get yourself a Lutheran study Bible with all those footnotes and dig in, because it's really, really good. And you will find, as we found in our New Testament, that with repetition comes learning.
Mm-hmm.
The more you spend time with these books, the more things will start to pop out of you. Sorry, not out of you, pop out at you. I guess out of you as well. For example, if I were to say that verse from Isaiah again, could you finish it? He was despised and rejected by men.
Say it again.
He was despised and rejected by men, a man
of sorrows and acquainted with grief.
Yes, the words are in there. Not because you have made an effort to memorize them, but simply through repeated exposure. So give yourself that opportunity. And I'm, as I did at the end of our New Testament quiz, I'm going to give you a memory verse challenge now. See what you have unwittingly, because you haven't prepared for this, captured in your brains.
Okay.
All right. Probably the best known passage of the Old Testament outside of Genesis 1, which I'm not going to make you recite all of, would be the 23rd Psalm. So if I get you started in that, how far can you go? Let's see.
Okay.
The Lord is my shepherd.
I shall not want.
He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake.
This is the valley of death.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me.
Thou anointest my head with oil.
My cup runneth over.
Runneth over. We got so many versions.
The versions. He prepares a table. Prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Did I skip a part?
No, you got it out of order, but it's all there. Okay. Keep going. Okay. You're on a roll.
Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Well done. A couple of verses were out of order, but everything was there. You slipped into King James for a bit, and that's okay, because that is a valid Bible translation.
That must be what I memorized first.
Yeah.
And honestly, I do recommend occasionally reading in the King James, simply because it's some of that language is sticky in a different way.
Yeah.
I have enjoyed that myself in the past. See, you didn't even know that was coming. You didn't say, right. I'm going to memorize the 23rd Psalm this week. Huh? Just by repeated exposure, it's in there. And when you need it, you have it.
Yeah.
And so much of the rest of Scripture, the Psalms, the Proverbs, you know, trust in the Lord with all your heart and
lean not on your own understanding.
In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and
He will make your path straight.
Yes. Yeah. They're in there. And so get them in even further. That's the takeaway from this trivia. I hope you all enjoyed it, because there's some interesting stories and people to share even now. But the takeaway is dig in and may you be blessed. Yeah. There you go. Well done. That was impressive. You guys are great.
That was fun. That was a lot less stressful than New Testament, because we'd already done this once. Okay, ladies. Well, the last time I posted all these questions in the Facebook group and y'all went nuts. It was so fun. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to do that again. I will post all these questions. I don't always put everything in the Facebook group, partially because I forget and partially because there's just so much happening in there. But these I will put in there because y'all ate them up last time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Although if you've already listened, you'll know the answers anyway.
You'll know it. That's true.
Share it with your friends and see what they know. There you
go. Yes.
We'll give you some quiz questions. You can stump your friends. So I will post these questions in the Facebook group and on our Instagram page so you guys can answer those questions or share them in both of those places. You can join us in both of those places as well for all of the rest of the content that we have on Facebook and on Instagram. You can find all of our episodes at kfuo.org/Lutheran Ladies Lounge or on your favorite podcasting app or on the KFUO radio app. You're listening to the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast. I'm Sarah.
I'm Erin.
And I'm your very proud quiz mistress, Rachel.
Views and opinions expressed on the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO Radio, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. The Lutheran Ladies Lounge is produced by KFUO Radio and available at kfuo.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and leave a review for us too. If you love the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast, consider financially supporting our producer, KFUO Radio, so we can keep doing what we do. Find out how at kfuo.org/give.